Hi, I'm Scott Clapson here on KCIW. You are listening to The Community Organizer. We are here today with Alyssa Babin from the Azalea Park Foundation. How are you, Alyssa?
Hello, Scott. Hi, I'm well. How are you? Thanks for having me today.
It's really great having you here. So we serve on the board together for the Azalea Park Foundation. Alyssa, could you tell us more about the Azalea Park Foundation, our mission, and what our purpose is?
Yeah, sure. So the Azalea Park Foundation is a really wonderful community organization. Our mission is to assist the city of Brookings with the maintenance and improvement of Azalea Park. And the way that the Azalea Park Foundation has traditionally done that is with the maintenance of the formal garden space. So that's the manicured portion of the park where you walk in from the main, the larger parking lot, and then towards Kid Town, where there's all the beautiful maintained shrubbery and plants. It's really pretty. There's that, the people of the sculpture. Scott, do you know what that?
Jubilation, sculpture? I think.
Jubilation, that's right.
Yeah, I always call it the friendship statue.
The friendship is nice, too, because they're all sort of together holding hands. It's really nice landmark.
So we're sitting down today to talk specifically about the community garden. So the formal garden's not going away, correct? It's going to stay?
Right. Yeah, absolutely not. The formal garden is a really important part of the foundation's mission and purpose, and it's definitely there to stay forever into eternity. As long as Azalea Park exists, I foresee the formal garden existing. The community garden, so if I could just tell you a little bit.
Sure.
I mean, you know you were there, right? But let me just explain to our listeners a little bit about the community garden. So as sometimes happens, unfortunately, with nonprofit work, there was a sort of a lapse in leadership with the Park Foundation, and Scott, you and I got involved when there was that little lapse, and we saw an opportunity working with Tony Barron to sort of expand the scope of the Park Foundation, of the Azalea Park Foundation. And, you know, we, community garden just sort of, I think, popped into our heads as a great way to use some of that open space that's currently being unused in the park. And I think the idea is behind it was sort of to have a place where people could go, particularly focused, but not entirely focused, you know, with a general approach to the public, but for people with low-income backgrounds and kids, a place where someone might not have a garden in their backyard or have a backyard space at all, to sort of be able to have a public space where they can go and garden and grow vegetables. And so we sort of took that opportunity and the strength of the Park Foundation to build a deal with the city of Brookings in order to develop that community garden space. We ended up being blessed enough to get a grant from All Care and the Community Advisory Council. So we have some funds to build the garden with that. And we're going to move forward excitedly here into the spring is quickly passing by. So we'll be doing most of our work in the summer, I think, this year. But I'm excited that we're finally getting it off the ground.
Me too. I know a lot of people have been wondering what's happening, but
yeah,
as with a lot of projects, you come up with the idea, you get approval, and then you have to go out and seek funding, which is what Alyssa and I did with the All Care Community Advisory Council. So we're really grateful to All Care for that.
Yes.
And
the very
advisory
fortunate
council for that money.
Yes, to get that funding. Yeah. Absolutely.
So Alyssa, it sounds like you're pretty passionate about community gardens. Do you want to tell us why in particular you're passionate about community gardens?
So I've been, I'm born and raised in Brookings. So I think that growing up here, you kind of get a sense of what the community is like. And I really feel this to be true, that you have to be the change you wish to see in the world. And that I think that is particularly true in Curry County, where if you want something to happen, you kind of need to do it yourself, or at least that's my perspective. Maybe I'm just a motivated person, so I feel that way personally. But so I got started with community gardens when I was in law school. I worked with this organization called the Center on Race, Poverty, and the Environment in Delano, California, which is one of the most polluted places in America. I think the city of Arvin, California, which is just south of Delano, is actually the most polluted place in America. So there's this you know, large population of Latino and immigrant communities there, mostly low-income people. And the Center on Race, Poverty, and the Environment was working with these people to start community gardens. And they, my role was to create sort of a guide to help people to start community gardens. And so I ended up creating this comprehensive guide to community garden regulations, which we presented to the California Senate, and got actually a couple of really nice gardens in that area. So that's how I kind of got started with community gardens in particular. Growing up in Brookings, you know, I've been gardening with my grandma since I was old enough to dig my fingers into the dirt. So I've always really loved gardening and have a strong sense of place, I think. And there's just something about eating a tomato straight off of the plant. It's like nothing else. I mean, I remember when I was a kid eating cherry tomatoes and green beans, just taking them off of the plant and eating them and shoving my face with raspberries and blueberries from the garden when I was a kid. And I think that that's, you know, my sense of fresh, knowing what fresh food is and realizing that today a lot of kids don't know what fresh food is. I watched this Jamie Oliver video where he went into this school and he brought random vegetables. I think there was a zucchini and like a tomato and an eggplant. And he was asking the kids what they were. And none of the kids knew what any of these vegetables were. And it was like, as an adult, seeing that, it was shocking. But, you know, children are our future. And I think that that really helped to cement to me how important it is that kids in our area, especially when we have the opportunity here to grow fresh fruits and vegetables, you know, how important it is to show kids that you can do that yourself. And, you know, how important it is to be able to rely on the earth, that we, to know that we rely on the earth for our food, and then to take advantage of that. Sort of a long answer to that one.
But. Yeah, no, it's really great that you have passion. There were multiple of us that, as we came together to sort of assist the Azalea Park Foundation, we all kind of had the idea at the same time that we all were thinking community garden, and none of us had really talked about it. And we all just like kind of looked at each other. We were like community garden.
Well, I want to know why you're, that was a really cool moment. I want to hear why you're passionate about community gardens, though.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. a few years ago, about 2008, I was attending Los Angeles City College when I was living down there. And I was involved in student government, and I was the Senator of Environmental Affairs. And the physics professor was bringing people out for Earth Day and doing different like projects during the Earth Day celebration. And I helped to organize that. And he sent me an email one day and said, I have these photos. Did you know there was a garden here at one point on the campus? And so we got the photos, we got them scanned in, and we started talking to people around the campus and leadership and administration and the trustees, and started emailing these photos out to raise awareness that there used to be a garden there at LA City College in East Hollywood. I never personally got to see a garden come to fruition there. But then I became really involved when I transferred to Portland State University a couple of years later in 2011 with the Food Action Collective. And we began building a relationship with the Oregon Food Bank and talking about student hunger. And there's a food pantry there sponsored by the student government at Portland State. And we were looking to get that like a registered food bank with the Oregon Food Bank network. And wanted to bring them to campus. So we brought them to campus a couple of times and had them talk to students and people about student hunger. And so that's really was my entrance into gardening. But here in Brookings was the Food Bank Garden Project that we started in 2013 in the spring. And now there's four raised beds there and a greenhouse. And then later that year, we worked on the garden at St. Timothy's, which now is expanding and has a greenhouse. And now there's a garden at the library here in Brookings, three raised beds behind the annex for the Junior Master Gardener class there as well.
It's really cool.
So there's lots of, we're actually even about to start growing vegetables at the Chetco Activity Center where I work too. So there's lots of gardens coming in.
Awesome.
So yeah, lots of really cool stuff. So I'm just really passionate as I talk to more and more people about the cost of food, especially if you have a family. I was talking to one of the parents at the Junior Master Gardener class, and she said, I have multiple kids, and if I want to feed my family broccoli for dinner, it's very expensive to feed a family of five fresh vegetables at every meal. And if you don't have a very high income, it can be a challenge in such a remote community. And the more that I'm hearing about this, the more I'm passionate about teaching people so they can not only grow food in public spaces like we're trying to do, Alyssa, but also take stuff home and grow stuff if they don't have room, even growing it in containers, and how we can teach people about that as well.
Yeah, that is another really exciting element of it. I totally agree with you. Yeah.
Alyssa and I are both very passionate, and it's really cool to have you on this podcast because we're really looking forward to this garden this summer. So we have a meeting coming up at the library on Tuesday, May 10th at 6 o'clock in the large meeting room.
Checo Public Library.
Thank you, Alyssa.
Yeah.
And we wanted to have a community meeting to include people, see who in the community is interested. Now that we have the money to get started, we have some plans for the summer, and we'd like to see who'd want to be involved.
Right. Yeah. And we have a couple of specific events happening.
Yes.
And so I think we're planning a fence day, right, where we actually put up the fence, and then a sort of get the garden, the soil and the seeds going day. Isn't that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah. So I think that specifically getting input about the community garden, definitely, but then more also those two events that we're planning on having, or we'll talk about at the meeting as well. So
absolutely. Yeah, we're really looking. I mean, it's going to take a lot of participation, as we found with the garden at St. Timothy's. It's not just one or two people actually at the garden. It's, you know, people making connections with us for donations of soil and different things. And then people helping us sometimes with the garden at the church. They've started seeds at home and then brought them to the church. And we'd love for the same thing to happen too in the community. People that maybe start seeds and have some extra starts, they could donate them to the garden in Azalea Park.
Right. Yeah. I think that we're really open to taking this community garden in, you know, I mean, we're not like, we're going to do it this way. You know, we're like, let's figure out what's best for the community. And I think it's also going to be an evolving process where, you know, we might start out with just doing communal beds where we all work together. But we could also evolve into doing, you know, depending on how active someone wants to be in the garden, they could have their own little row or plot or have their ideas. And I think we want to do classes at the garden and workshops, like you were saying, teaching people how to grow their own food in containers would be so amazing. I would love to see. We should, you know what we should do? We should make put the Azalea Park Foundation Community Garden on the pots, and then at the class, give them to people, and then they can take them home, and we can see the pots all over town and people's windows growing food.
That'd be great. Are you going to paint them?
Yeah. You want to help me?
Absolutely. I actually did that a few years ago for the Food Bank Garden Project. I painted some little terracotta pots with some flowers. I hand painted them myself as a little giveaway to people to just raise awareness about what we were doing. So
I love painting pots. I think it's really fun. So.
Yeah, it's very cool. Yeah, we're really looking for people to be involved in whatever capacity they would like and bring us their ideas. And especially if someone is interested, if you have a family or you're listening to this and you'd like to get involved and demonstrate. The one thing that we're up against, as Alyssa and I know, with the agreement with the city, is the garden does have to have a fence and a locked gate. So we've been talking about having a combination lock that would be a way for if someone, part of what we've been experimenting with the formal garden is meeting with people and talking with them one-on-one about what needs to be done and letting them come when it's comfortable for their schedule to come and work. And we'd ultimately like that to be something that we work with the community garden as well.
Right. Yeah.
Is that we would have certain designated people that would be able to, you know, be getting assignments kind of outside of work parties and things like that.
Yeah, having a combination of individual volunteer time and work parties, I think would be really the ideal scenario.
Yeah.
So that meeting is on the it's sort of an introductory, like general discussion meeting about where to go with the community garden, and that's happening May 10th at 6 p.m.
That's a Tuesday, yes.
Checo Community Public Library. And Scott, what's your role at that meeting?
What's my role at that meeting? Well, I was hoping that you and I would co-facilitate that meeting, Alyssa. I thought that was the plan.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to make sure you remembered.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll just be having a conversation. It's been about a year, a little over a year since we got approval for the community garden. And we got a lot of great response when we first got approval. And we just want to circle back and just be sure that people feel included now that we have the money to start working on it.
Yeah, exactly. And there, if people want to have any questions, they're going to call you, right?
Yes. you can contact Scott Clapson. You can send me an email at Scott Clapson. That's ScottClapson at yahoo.com. Or you can try my cell phone at 541-254-1958. We'll attach those numbers to this podcast. And you could also reach me by contacting KCIW directly. I am on the advisory board for KCIW, and I'm sure they would be happy to put you in touch with me as well. I'm super thrilled. I am so excited.
I cannot wait. I'm like, okay, May 10th. Hurry up and get here.
I'm waiting for June when we start building the fence
and start putting the stuff in the actual
part of the garden. So one of the things we haven't talked about in this podcast is where it's actually located in the park.
Oh, this is a somewhat controversial subject.
Oh, is it controversial?
No, it's not. Someone the other day was like, I'm like, oh, you know where the sand volleyball court is in Azalea Park? And they're like, oh, yeah. I was thinking maybe I would go down there and play volleyball one day. I'm like, okay, well, no one's played volleyball there for like 10 years.
It's been a few years, yeah.
It's sort of a great place because it's you kind of have to explain it by landmarks as you do with things in the park. So there's the ball fields. So there's the path that goes from the Kid Town area towards the ball fields and around through what my mom called Monkey Village when I was growing up. It's like the boggy area with the cattails. It goes around the back of the band shell. So as you're walking down that path from Kid Town towards the band shell, there's a open sand area right now that's being unused. And it's actually a pretty large space. Full sun. We have access to water use, and it's going to be right there. So.
Yeah. I'm super excited about the location of it because of where it's located. It's close to Kid Town. So you can almost see Kid Town from the garden.
If you stand on the ladder and squint
through the azaleas.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting that last year when we were going to try and get approval for it, someone on Facebook did the same thing. They were curious because they were wanting to use it. And evidently the city doesn't even know where the nets are. So,
I mean, if someone who's listening to this podcast is a hardcore volleyball person and wants to play volleyball, let's play. I have a volleyball court at my parents' house. Let's go play there because they have a net and a volleyball.
Well, there was talk that at some one point they were thinking of donating the poles to maybe the port or somewhere else where there was more sand and where tourists were a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, I remember back when I was a kid, Bill Youngman and Joanne Vandershaft, Coach Van, they used to have beach volleyball tournaments, which were amazing. Like they actually went down to, I think they just did them at Harris Beach. And they would had, you know, the temporary set up. So anyways, I'm just saying, if you want to play volleyball, there's a bunch of way awesome places to do it in town.
Track down Alyssa Babin and she'd be happy to play volleyball with you.
Yes.
Yeah, it is a great location though for the garden. And I think the biggest thing I'm excited about is in the location because of the way the ground sits that we've, Alyssa and I and other board members have been talking about the future possibility of harnessing like runoff.
Right. Bioswale.
Yeah. Like a bioswale and helping to somehow sustainably water the garden.
Yeah.
So we're really excited about those possibilities.
We could do, you know, winter rain buckets as well. Storage for the.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of really exciting possibilities for the garden.
Lots of super exciting possibilities. Yeah. So if you can't make the May 10th meeting at the library at 6 o'clock, we understand. You're welcome to contact myself or Alyssa if you're interested in participating and can't make that meeting. We'd like to make space for everybody because this is a community garden and it is in a city park.
Yes.
So the land technically belongs to all of us as citizens of Brookings Harbor. And we would love to make this a beautiful centerpiece of the park, just like the formal garden is.
Yeah, that's the goal, you know, expanding the scope of the Azalea Park Foundation and making community efforts for future generations.
Absolutely. Yes, our mission statement, assisting the city with maintenance and improvements to Azalea Park. Yeah. And I would definitely say this is a great improvement to our beautiful city park.
I would agree.
Thank you so much, Alyssa. I'm really glad that you sat down with me today to talk about this and that you have continued your passion, even though it's been a year since we first got approval. But we've done it. We've got the money and we're moving forward.
I can't believe it's been a year. I mean, where did that year go? And okay.
But we're here and that's the best part.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thanks for doing this, Scott. I really appreciate you having some creative energy into how we can get the word out about what's going on with the community garden. So thanks for talking with me. And it was lovely being on the microphone with you, my friend.
Absolutely. Thank you, Alyssa. I am Scott Clapson here on KCIW. You have been listening to The Community Organizer, and we have been talking about the Azalea Park Foundation Community Garden. If you are interested in participating with the Community Garden, we have an informational meeting coming up Tuesday, May 10th at 6 o'clock at the Chetco Community Public Library, or you can contact Scott Clapson. My contact information will be attached to this podcast. Thank you so much and have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Curry Coast Community Radio, your community-supported radio station. If you like this program and want to hear more like it, consider becoming a founding member. For more information, go to our website, kciw.org.